there is literally a genocide happening in Congo. It needs to stop. We've got a situation where these countries are illegally entering Congo and destabilizing the country. Many people would ask the question, why are they doing this? Who is behind this?
Especially in big cities, people are bottled up. Whenever there's like a conversation topic, such as like the conflict between Israel and Palestine, suddenly everybody's got something to say.
I do believe that, you know, one person can make a huge difference, and obviously you're making a difference even sharing that now.
Why I started the fashion brand. I feel like the role of a designer is a gift. A gift that essentially you need to help people because you see things differently. You're able to solve problems that are able to, you know, liberate people from suffering.
Hello and welcome back to Rocket Pod. On today's show, we're joined by Christian Okutu.
Christian is a fashion designer and budding entrepreneur. He is the founder of Okuru Studios.
And I'm particularly interested to learn about how he's infused Congolese fashion with Japanese culture. That's a real interesting mix. And love his energy and his attitude to life.
And how all of that influences Okuru and the production of it and everything that he does. So welcome, Christian. Christian.
Hi.
Welcome to Rocket Pod.
Welcome.
Nice to meet you. It's a pleasure to be on here, honestly. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to even speak to you guys and be on this platform.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like just even you guys, this with our previous meeting and what we spoke about and even leading up to now, I feel like we're definitely going to speak about a lot of good things, which people will definitely be, you know, interested in to listen to. So I'm really excited for today and what we speak about.
Fantastic, we're excited and we're glad that you are as well.
I spoke to Xander very shortly after you guys had kind of hung out for a few hours, and Xander was, it's palpable, you know, exciting, and I think there's some really big ideas that we can kind of unpick today. I'm observing, but I'm gonna have some questions because, you know, you guys similar, you know, come from same generation, and it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, before we start, you've got some really nice clothes on.
Do you want to stand up and do a little?
So essentially, this is what they call, or what I would call, an upcycled piece of Okuru fashion.
Yeah, so just kind of turn around and sit back down because we can't see your face.
And lift your leg up a bit so that you can see the...
You look at the monitor there.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
So essentially, what I design comes from Congolese and Japanese background. So I'm Congolese myself. Both my parents come from Democratic Republic of Congo.
Okay.
But I was born here in North London.
Okay.
But more background on why I started the fashion brand. For me personally, growing up, I was introduced into a lot of color, art, music, and culture in African culture. And as I started to grow up with this culture, I noticed there was other cultures that had similar and strong links. And one of those cultures was actually Japanese cultures. And Japanese culture, essentially, the first moment how I came into realization with it is first through anime. So a lot of people in our generation are kind of invested in anime because we literally grew up with that culture, like from the 90s up until now. And I feel like it's just very fascinating that when I was young, I was able to see the correlation between African culture in terms of folklore and storytelling and and art, and even with other cultures, how it all's, how everything is all connected and links to one. And what I started to do during sixth form, so this was around like 2017 to 2018, was I started to experiment with different mediums. So this was the point where I was in trying to choose which pathway I was going to go. in my design selection, whether if it was photography, graphics, and fashion. But I feel like I tested out through different of mediums to the point where I got comfortable enough with that. And then I applied a course to action, which is through all the experience I've gained, I used the knowledge of what I was interested in and combined the both.
Yeah.
And this is where the brand came through.
Okay.
And now I'm in a state where I have the brand, but it's more for essentially the people and the community.
Mm.
And it links back to the people of Congo and what's going on in Congo, because a lot of people don't know what's happening in Congo, and it's a really, really, I would say, a big, big topic that people need to understand and know about.
So let's dive into the Congo then. What's going on there? How did that inspire you to start Okuru?
Yeah, so the reason why I started the fashion brand Okuru was a lot of things which I would love to obviously express on this podcast here, but you know, there's a lot of things going on. But in simple and layman's terms, there is literally a genocide happening in Congo. And this genocide is being fueled by the eastern part, which is from Rwanda and Burundi, which is the neighboring countries. And what's happening is we've got a situation where these countries are illegally entering Congo and destabilizing the country.
Okay.
And many people would ask the question, why are they doing this? Or who is behind this? And there's a lot of people behind this matter. And the fact that in the eastern part of Congo, a lot of people aren't really financially or well educated. The economy there isn't how the economy is here in the European world. And within everything that's happening, what it's doing to the people is it's making the people suffer. And the people aren't able to really truly learn or have opportunities or able to grasp new ideas to help their actual lives, which, you know, could potentially affect their future for the better. But these ongoing crises with countries, not even just neighboring countries, but there's even been reports from countries, from like tech companies that have been investing in, you know, these rebel parties or these rebel groups in Congo to locate areas where there's a lot of resources. So minerals like coltan, gold, copper, diamond, magnesium, all of these essential ores are essentially used to create technology, which we're using to film this podcast right now. And there's no light being shed on this matter. There's no, like, there was a big, big protest we just saw for Palestine, but there was nothing about Congo. And I feel like more people need to be aware of what's going on in Congo, because what we're using is affecting people's lives. That's, and this is a known fact. You can search this up, but the issue is that this is not being shed upon light, meaning the fact that the attention is driven away makes the problem prolong and it's being ignored, meaning no one's doing anything about it. But the more attention there is about this matter, is then more people can do something about it, because we can unify, come together and create essentially a problem to solve this issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like a lot of the folks that, Congolese population are in this fight or flight mode. You know, they don't have, there's the food security, shelter, they don't have that. So they're it's almost like they're not in a safe environment to actually even learn and, and obviously they don't have the tools that we have in the West. It's a very sad story of Africa all across the continent, isn't it? So do you think that this... the fact that you're very passionate and you're very aware of this, and thank you for sharing that with us, does that give you the fire in your belly to kind of really make a difference? Because obviously through your work, there is a future. Could you talk a bit about that, as far as where do you? Because I mean I do believe that one person can make a huge difference, and obviously you're making a difference even sharing that now. What are you? How do you look at the world as far as your responsibility, and is that the fire in your belly? Is it the fire in your belly that kind of drives you to do good, or to kind of help your brothers and sisters back in the Congo?
I would definitely say it's definitely part. I wouldn't even say it's part. I'll say it's the main kind of front. It's the main drive, because how I break it down is, originally, my parents are not from this country. They're immigrants. Mm-hmm. So they had to flee from my home. This is from my understanding. They flee their homeland or my homeland to come here to provide me, my brothers and sisters, a better opportunity to learn, just because the situation there is that detrimental.
And untenable.
Literally. So... now, because I have essentially the knowledge and the resources to, and also with new technologies emerging, it's definitely possible for me to create something, a solution for the people over there. Because they don't have anything. They need external help. That's what they need. Mm-hmm. They need external help. It's not even a situation where people... because it's been happening in there for so long. Like, we're talking about, even if we date back to Leopold, which is when Belgium first colonized Congo, the first time when they initially came to the country, the main reason why they went there was to exploit the rubber and to use the rubber. With the rubber, then they found uranium. And after they were using this in terms of war and tech and technology, but all of this stuff was forms of income or resource base. That's what they kind of saw the Congo as a funnel of, because it has so much. It's so rich in minerals and resources.
It's a recurring thing, right?
I feel like it's not fair, the fact that you're sacrificing people's lives over, like ores or rocks that even before the time we didn't know any information about what those rocks could do, that during that time, it felt like different, not even just different to the point where even in that stage, we wasn't really kind of, we didn't really know on what we wanted to kind of create with these technologies. Because we didn't know what diamond could do or what magnesium or copper, only until later when inventors knew knowledge about them, then we were able to find this stuff. And then it became in demand. Mm-hmm. And with that, it's a weather case where I feel like one of the things that I thought of to kind of help the people in Congo, and it's a simple solution, because I had a discussion literally with my dad yesterday on this as well. And he told me if essentially Congo started exporting, so traders over there were to create, or if someone from here created a business over there where people from, or the Congolese people, were allowed to export their goods to people from other currencies, they're able to get their GDP up.
Yep.
Because with that, at least now, you've got countries' currency investing back into Congo and their currency is a lot stronger. So now this will give economic growth, like stability. And I feel like that's the key thing. It doesn't need to be something that it changes. It needs stable because a lot of people are traumatized. A lot of people have seen and been through traumatizing things where people are just killed or women are raped over there like daily. And it's not a thing where I want to share this out, but it needs to stop.
Yeah.
So if we kind of come back out, so it's the classic case of, you know, the conveyor belt of minerals going out to the West or to, you know, to develop countries, and then the money and power that creates and technology, and then it gets pumped back in to do more of that. So it's almost like a conveyor belt out and it's almost like bleeding the Congo dry and bleeding Africa dry. It's happened for centuries, and it's awful, and it is exploitation at the worst possible level. So zooming back out, what's your vision like with your as far as what you feel that you can do through the power of, and it's also there's, I mean, we don't have a lot of time unfortunately today, but it's the support of independent brands like yourself. Folks that have a much bigger purpose, and there is, I mean, I know to talk to Xander about this, there is a shift right now away from the big businesses, away from the big tech companies, and I think we can all make a difference by supporting small independent brands like yourself, because you're looking to kind of give back to, you know, the country of your parents' birth. So can you comment a bit about that as far as your vision? You know, what do you feel that you can do, and is there any message that you want to send out there to our listeners that you know, they might be shopping with big brands, why they should you know, take a look at small independents like yourself. You know, you're small right now, but you know, you've got big ideas, so you know, you're going to be growing.
I feel like the main vision and I feel like the main goal I want to set is for, I want to first work within my community, and within my community is essentially people from Congolese background. And this is where the other aspect of the brand comes in, where I've included the Japanese aspect, which is the Asian aspect of, you know, bringing the two communities together to, you know, help this cause. And what I envision is, you know, interacting with people in Oxford Street, like people that are Gen Z or people that are, you know, really want to involve themselves in making a change in the world.
But they might not know how to.
True.
But you're giving them a vehicle for change, even though they might not have a big purpose like you, and but they can make a difference.
I feel like it's important to just shed light again, just make people aware. Just always inform people. It's good to speak and open your mind sometimes, because I feel like in the city we live in, especially in London, people are very bottled up and we go through a lot of things. And sometimes it just takes a conversation to relate to someone, because we all go through the same thing every day, because we're all under the same system. So it's not fair to just lash out at someone, and because at the end of the day, we're both feeling the same emotions, but it's just our reality that makes it different, because everyone sees different things and goes through different and has different interests. But we're all the same when we're all one. So we should actually still support each other, like, regardless. And I feel like for independent brands like myself and people who shop with, like, big brands, I feel like to people who shop to the big brands, I would say if you had a chance to invest in a small brand, please do it. I'm not just saying for the sake of it. I'm just saying it because there was once a point where LV, you know, Moët, Hennessy, Prada, Gucci were in the same situation that I'm in right now. Like, everyone has started from a beginning. And it's not fair to say that, you know, these people, obviously they've been here for some time, but you know, it's always good to share, and giving back is always important. Even if you're at a level that yeah. I'm at compared mm-hmm. to a level that they're at, there's mm-hmm. always a difference that designers have to contribute to the world. Because I feel like the role of a designer is a gift. I personally feel like it's a gift.
Yeah.
A gift that essentially you need to help people because you see things differently. You're able to solve problems that are able to, you know, liberate people from suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main cause to reduce
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. A lot of independent brands, you're tied to a, you know, like a really powerful meaning or message, right? And a lot of big brands, it's almost the opposite. In fact, they are part of the exploitation as well. A lot of people that are making the clothes are these young kids who are, you know, in poorer countries. So and I think what you touched upon, that especially in big cities, people are bottled up. But it seems as though whenever there's like a conversation topic that comes out, such as like the conflict between Israel and Palestine, suddenly everybody's got something to say. Right? And it's like this independent thought is kind of diminishing in a lot of people. And it's more so like, what is everyone else talking about and thinking about? But I think we're starting to shift away from that now. And we're starting to go into the age of individualism, which I'm sure you know about.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why, that's why I wanted to bring you on, because I think your brand is a very nice reflection of you and who you are.
Yep.
So I have a following question, but I did just want to ask you, so... because I'm really curious, the connection between the Congo and Japan.
Yes.
What's the connection?
That's really surprising as well. Yeah. Because I'm interested too.
Why Japanese? What's the connection?
I feel like the connection has stemmed through a lot of research, like personal research that I was doing, like when. Before I even started this brand. So I was already even investing in this before I even started the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I would constantly just go to the British Museum and just look at the African section and just look at the Asian section.
Mm.
And just what I would do is I would simplify everything. And what I mean by that is in terms of mediums they used, inks, paper, style. And then what I would do is I would essentially... analyze an African piece of art, and then I'll analyze an Asian piece of art. And then I've come to the realization that they are all essentially have one common goal with the two cultures, and it's to express nature within its purity and always to respect nature. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I've learned.
Okay.
That the link between Congo and Japan is respecting nature and also respecting each other and yourself to essentially, because if you think about organic things or things that grow, it's a natural cause. Like when you think of the root and shoot with the seed of a new, let's just say a bonsai seed.
Yeah.
So with that bonsai seed, is the shell is helping it grow. It's encapsulating it because it's keeping the form. And then with that, it's able to essentially, you know, find its path, but it's abundantly growing. Mm-hmm. It's just learning. That's essentially the analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even when it comes to language as well, there's a lot of links in Japanese language and Congolese language.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know about the Khoisan people, which are, they are... a mix of Zulu and Bantu.
Okay.
But the Khoisan people are really, they're a mixture of African and Asian.
Okay.
And the Bantu region is located from where DRC, Congo is, all the way down to South Africa.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And phonetically, in terms of the language, is very similar to Japanese. So say for example, in my language, in Lingala, if you say, who is that to, or who are you, is your nani. So your nani. But in Japanese, if you say what, or like what is that, is nani. The same pronunciation. And it's similar, even words in Nigeria, there's similar names, like the name for heart is also spelt, it's the same pronunciation in Japanese as well. And I just find so many strong links, and I'm still doing research up until now.
It's kind of a journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny, when I think of Japanese, I think of shadows, you know, they're in love with shadows, and when you look at architecture and designs, it's very precise. And then I forget what the practice is, but the flower arrangement is like the curation, so just taking away. So that's what it means to, you know, the Japanese thing. But I'm a kind of a bit ignorant, but that there are some qualities in that. And I think on the African side, I did spend a lot of my childhood in Kenya. I loved all the colors and the natural. I think I can see the connection between nature and the patterns, more so on the Africa side, but it's just beautiful and vibrant. And it's like, it's almost like a splash of happiness almost. I think, and I think those two things colliding, where you've got the, I don't know, I can just, and then what was the word that we talked about last week? The geometric forms, the natural forms.
Sacred geometry.
Oh yeah. Sacred.
So you've all got that playing too.
Because there's like the language side of things, and then there's like the sacred geometry side of things. I think even just visually, just looking at your outfit now, even I would probably be able to tell which parts are inspired by Congo and which are by Japanese, but overall when you look at everything, it fits together nicely. And I think that's because you can see all the natural,
there's a form of resonance, like balance, which
I can see that. And actually looking, I mean, it's very colorful and vibrant, but at the same time it looks like it's supposed to be there. There's no it's not not standing out, it's just, it just looks right. It's clever. It's very clever.
So for sacred geometry, I mean, did you want to share anything about that?
I love sacred geometry. This is literally into my field, guys.
Okay, cool. Cool.
When it comes to because let's break it down. Sacred geometry is essentially mathematics at its simplest. It's frequencies and patterns, and those frequencies and patterns, you can say they're almost like binary bits, like zeros, ones, or even quantum states, which is one and zero combined. So with sacred geometry, you've got the Fibonacci sequence, which is the spiral, but is the building block patterns of literally life itself. It's an infinite process, which keeps on, there's no end to it. And I feel like when it comes to sacred, because sacred geometry links back to free energy and free energy coming through nature. And there's a lot of places in the world you can look, and there's a lot of free energy being exerted there, and you would know by, say for example, if there's a lot of news reports, or if there's a lot of news, or say for example there's a lot of I'll say a crowd basically surrounding that area. And when it comes with different formats, because every environment is built differently, and you have to look at things where this actually even affects from the larger scale, which is the universe, and what happens in the universe, which is like black holes, you've got nebulas, like shooting, all of these are forms of what happens in nature, but this is just in space. Now, smaller scale, we've got Earth and the ecosystem of Earth. So essentially the geometric pattern and all of these sequences, they're all encoded with a certain frequency. And these frequencies have different planes. And you're able to essentially tap into these planes, like obviously the alpha state, the gamma state, mentally, because this is this is everything is all forms of spirituality in a form of meditation. But if so, the best way to explain it is, say for example, you're having a conversation with someone and you essentially said to them, oh, hey Xander, did you see that coffee yesterday? I know it's a random, but did you see that coffee yesterday? And it was Nescafe. And he was like, oh, what? Yeah, I remember seeing Nes. There's a, sometimes our thoughts can resonate in terms of like, we can actually telepathically, like, but subconsciously read each other. But it's not in the form where like, yes, I'm reading what James is thinking right now. Yeah. But it's more of in a different way. Where
Yes, you are. No,
he is, actually.
It's more in a different way. It's like things are the push and pull effect. You say one thing, I say another. But it would end result, it will always be this. Because, you know, we're pushing across this field.
Yeah. I think what I'm understanding as well is that, like, okay, let's just... really quickly, so everything is made up of sacred geometry, right? Literally everything, nothing within creation isn't made up of sacred geometry. So, and you know about like feng shui and stuff, and let's say everything's energy, then whichever has like more sacred geometry, energy can flow through it like a lot better. And so I think when you're wearing clothes, I think there's a huge element to wearing clothes. I think like there was something that came up recently, I watched on a podcast or something, they were talking about how putting on your clothes is like putting on your outfit for the day. Like, put like, this is me, this is how I feel, this is the vibe I want to go for, and it's like that is really affected by the clothes that you put on personally, but then also people can interpret that, right? And I think you know, without those kinds of things, if you were to wear like a really futuristic with no sacred geometry at all type of outfit, people would look at you. But you can imagine the sort of feeling that you would get if you saw someone like that. It would be like, oh, interesting, it's standing out to me. But then it doesn't like, feel it doesn't feel like relaxing and like, you know. But when you see someone like this, then it's like,
I feel like, because that idea stems from an alienated thought or an alienated concept, which another person hasn't kind of accepted that in their reality yet. And that's why they see it as, oh, okay, this is quite cool, but I don't know where to stand with this, because, you know, there's not a space in my brain where I would put that. That's literally what they're saying. So I feel like with different people, when it comes to fashion, people are different and interested things, because, you know, they're just expressing themselves, but through clothing. I like to, like, I'm a very artistic person, to the point where I would like to, like, I would usually communicate with people graphically or artistically or through my fashion or clothing or what I'm wearing. It's, it's just a simpler way. And I feel like visual is really easy for people to understand, especially when you're using colors. And I encourage anyone to learn about color theory, because it's really important. Like, just the behaviors of what blue can do and what yellow can do and what red can do. Like, all of these colors actually have a subconscious programming that's programmed in us that we will behave a certain type of way. So like, if you're in a room just full of red and you're in there for 5 hours and there's another person that's full of, let's just say for example, green, full for 5 hours, you're definitely gonna get two different reactions when they both come out of that room. It's for a fact. And that's just because they were just, you know, in that frequency, because color is a frequency. And that's what people need, because light itself is a visible spectrum wave. So it's not something that is it's basically something that's happening every time, all the time, constantly, to the point where it's beyond our understanding.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. So I have a question. So let's just say you decide to wear red and blue or whatever combination of colors, because it makes you either just resonate with that color, or it's a certain person you're going to meet and you want to kind of portray a certain thing. So is the response different to how the person, so the person wearing the color is obviously putting out, it just feels right for them. Mm-hmm. But are you going to elicit a kind of almost like a mirror response from that, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. or is it, mm-hmm. or are you going to elicit the same response as the person feeling it? Because, you know, when people power dress, the other person feels like, oh, maybe they're kind of in awe of that person. So in a way, it's kind of an opposite, because here's the power, because I'm going to dress like this. Yeah. And then I want to elicit a certain response from the viewer. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about that as reactions? Or are you trying to, I guess it depends on what the motive is.
You know what? I feel like this is really interesting that you said this, because sometimes I actually do try out different outfits to get people's reaction in terms of, because I'm at the end of the day, I'm a fashion designer. So I need to know what people like or what people don't like, what they find interesting, what they find intriguing, like all of these things. Mm. Once you start to get these forms of different information of what you've created, now you've got a data pool of what you can do with the information. So say, for example, I have an event coming up, and I know that this event is a really nice event. There's gonna be people there. It's gonna be talking about fashion, like Web3 technology, how to design on these new platforms coming up. And I say I come in an outfit that is like suited towards that event. Mm-hmm. People will resonate more, mm-hmm. and it's in a form where you can now. You can use different forms of, say, for example, the way you dress in different situations, mm-hmm. and to the point where it's like, say, for example, I'm dressed like this and I'm speaking to someone. Yes, for them, it might be very colorful and like yo, this is a lot of information that they'll grasp in one point. But I feel like it's also important to kind of... you know, inform them on it.
If they're interested,
or if they see a keen interest, it's good to again like shed light. Yeah. So inform them on it in terms of this is what it's about. You know, because you know, once you leave something, say for example, you've gained an interest. So you're interested in a certain piece of painting, but you can't find that name of that piece of painting. It's gonna literally, you know, tick your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that could obviously be used as, you know, a marketing strategy, but usually people just end up forgetting about it.
Yeah.
But you have to really fully push through and, you know, connect with that person and create the consumer to brand or consumer to company relationship with that person to push that forward. And that's just from an entrepreneur designer perspective on the way
And I guess, you know, you're not looking to please everyone because you can't, but it's attracting the right people that appreciate your style or your design. Because if you try to please everyone, it would, you know, the results would probably be mediocre because it'd be a hodgepodge of everything, and it's just like you can't do it. So I know we probably need to wrap up. So.
Yeah, we've got like 3 minutes left. Nice. But I did want to touch on something quickly.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have time. So for those that are sort of aware and they are educating themselves on all these types of things that we're talking about, let's go a little bit into what's going to happen. So I'd like to ask you, what do you think is going to, how do you think the fashion industry is going to look in the near future and then in a little bit further future? And as well, like the relationship between bigger brands and then independent brands, why that's important?
Personally, I feel like where we're moving when it comes to fashion is definitely in the Web3 space. Let's take, for example, retail. Retail right now, we have a situation where consumers find it easier to shop online, which is on the actual website of the brand, instead of a brand having, say, for example, you know, these assets, all these new emerging technologies which people don't understand. So I feel like first, people need to, well, people in the, this is related to my fashion community. So anyone that is interested in fashion design or wants to tap into the next form of new technology in fashion design, is all going to be digital. There will be some aspects of obviously creation, which is like what I create with my pants or handcraft, but a lot of the things we're seeing now is abstract objects or abstract concepts being merged within the brand's ecosystem to provide a form of not just promise, but also privilege now to the consumers. Because where we're moving in fashion is, as a lot of people have seen through the past, NFTs, Web3 projects, essentially, like, I don't know if people have heard about Polkadot. Polkadot helps e-commerce website brands that are into the Web3 space, they're able to shop on there.
Okay.
And within that, what I see with fashion is a lot of people shifting over to that space just because it's a lot easier to use. Right now, it's still small because a lot of people don't really know about it. And I feel like people still need to familiarize themselves with the aspects of what it comes with.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like in terms of the whole branding and the whole push, visually, it's definitely heading towards that that direction. Because if you look at, say, for example, Gucci, they created their first NFT. Well, they were one of the first luxury brands to create their first NFT collection. And with that, it literally went soaring. So what you're doing, essentially, once you've created these, as they call, fidgetals. So it's like digital, digital and physical in one.
Fidgetal.
So that's like the terminology.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the augmented reality, looking in the mirror and you can see what clothes that you can buy. Yeah, that's a very interesting
absolutely crazy. So as we kind of wrap up, is there any advice that you want to leave our listeners, and then how can folks find you?
I think the last piece of message I do want to say is help and invest in startup brands, because we're in a time right now where the world really needs those people to be, well, the people that really want to help and, you know, make a difference and a change, those type of brands, to invest in, you know, to support them in a stage where, even though right now it is still difficult for them in terms of growing aspect wise, but even that small form of help is able to leverage and even keep what they're doing and that main goal and mission to flourish and to nurture. And I feel like in terms of designers and, you know, any artist or anyone in the creative world, always be confident as well about what you believe in and what you do. Like, you shouldn't kind of self-doubt. And this is one of the things I used to do a lot. I used to over-procrastinate. Don't fall in there, please.
Yeah.
Guys, don't fall in the over-procrastination. Just keep the action and the movement going. Yeah. Think of new things to do. Keep, you know, pushing. Keep seeking. Keep thinking. Never stop. Just
keep going.
That's just the one message I want to leave with the people here. Because it's definitely, it takes it far. I'm telling you, it's helped me. And I know it will help others when they hear this. Because a lot of people go through a lot of stuff. But it's the voice that, you know, that reaches out. But yeah,
it's a really, really good message. And you know, and we can all help independent brands with our wallets, and we can do good.
Yeah.
And actually,
yeah.
I think if you support a big brand, I think 5% stays within the local economy. I think if you support an independent brand, I think 40p or 40p plus stays in the local economy. But obviously, you know, your brand is going to go further, and you're going to, you know, yeah, really help lift up the folks that don't have the opportunities. How do people find you?
You can find...
Where can we buy your clothes?
So the website is www.okuruldn.com. And then you've got the Instagram, which is okuru.ldn. And that is essentially the Instagram and the website. We also have the YouTube as well, which is Okuru, so just OKURU, and our LinkedIn is Okuru LTD. But yeah, you can find us on those platforms. Cool. If you have any questions and any inquiries, feel free to ask, and I'm really open to, you know, with all of this. And if people want to definitely be involved and, you know, they want to be part of this movement, feel free to contact me. I'm here. We need hands. You know, we need to grow the community and the unit. So I'll definitely love your guys' help. And thank you.
Man.
Amazing.
It's been wonderful having you on.
Thank
you. It's been great. Thank you. Insightful.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Rocket Pod with Christian. It was wonderful learning of Christian's story. And I think really, you know, provides a powerful message that we need to support young emerging brands. Because, you know, we can make a real difference with our pocketbooks, with our wallets. As we touched upon, every pound that we spend locally or with a young entrepreneur like Christian, you know, a good 60p of every pound stays with the individual. And they're actually, you know, really making positive change with their work.
As well as the fact that there's a lot going on in the world that we are not really aware of, like what we talked about was happening in the Congo. So I think Christian is a really good testament to the type of guests that we like to bring on, somebody that, you know, has a feel for hardship. They've been through it, but they can also identify somewhere that they can make a difference and really help, and then just go for it, you know, regardless of how small or big your business is. Anything is possible. So definitely check him out, check out Okuru Studios and support it.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And the fact that Christian started his business at uni, you know, again, a lot of sacrifice with that too, but obviously has big goals that are way beyond his own self, which is really inspiring actually. So thank you, Christian. We'll have to have you back in a few years' time and see where you are.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Remember to subscribe, leave a comment, whatever you're thinking, and we'll see you in the next one.